Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
You're listening to the Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. And listen, they are part of the financial services sector, and it represents a vital component of our nation's critical infrastructure. And MIG takes their role in that very seriously. And they're available for you, and they stand ready to serve your home financing needs. They're working closely with their title partner companies and ready to make special provisions for a safe, timely closing for you. Find out more at MIGonline.com. 656-9900 if you'd like to join us.
656-9900, 866-656-9900. Mike Leach is in a little trouble, and it could benefit Tennessee. Defensive tackle Fabian Lovett has entered the transfer portal after his response to Mike Leach's tweet last week about a woman sewing a noose for her husband during quarantine. It was a quarantine joke, but you really can't make noose jokes in Mississippi, particularly if you're the head football coach. And you mentioned it a little earlier, Eric. The tweet was not the only reason that Fabian Lovett is transferring, but when you're a new head coach, you have a lot of guys who are on the fence about you, particularly when you're Mike Leach. And this tweet pushed these guys, at least love it first, over the edge.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Mike Leach is, like anybody, proving to those young men on the Mississippi State roster that he's the right guy to lead them to their personal and team football goals. He has a really good brand as a football coach. He's a very highly sought after football coach. He's been a rather winning football coach, and at places that are kind of hard to win. So why would it be any different at Starkville? We'll see. But I think while you're looking for things to decide, you know, you're looking at everything to decide whether or not you like somebody or you want to be led by somebody, that's the most crucial time to understand that you're in that position as a coach and really go out of your way to make sure that they can identify with you and that they respect you and all the things that they thought or heard about you that are positive or true. Oh, and there's actually all these other things that are, you know, pretty cool about him. I mean, his quirkiness can be a positive thing. And I mean, there's a reason every time there's a coaching search, Mike Leach's name comes up, but there's also a few deal breakers in those. You know, if you're a do as I say, not as I do type coach, that alienates a lot of kids quickly. Now, I don't think Mike Leach is that, but you know, and then there's some other things that if you dabble in, like an unintentional or race joke or make light of or something like that, like I think he did. I don't think he was trying to be disrespectful with it. I think he was trying to be self-deprecating with it, honestly. But some kids look at that and go, now, how could you ever even use that as a joke? You know, like that doesn't make sense. This guy's way different than I, you know what I mean? It's not that you even, like, I'll bet those kids know he didn't mean it. I'll bet they believe him when he said, guys, I did not mean it like that. They probably go, sure, and I believe you, but we're from very different walks of life, and I don't know that I can identify with you or that you're the guy that, you know, your goal as an incoming coach when you're a coaching change is to make the guys all feel like if they were picking you in this school today, that that's the school that they would and the coach they would still pick. You know, you're kind of going, hey, this is not necessarily what I envisioned, but I could see myself picking him in Mississippi State out of high school. Your goal is to make them feel like that. So if you do something that makes them feel like there's no way I would have picked this guy, then that becomes tough. And obviously we know how important the coach is to recruiting because That is literally why coaches get hired and fired in Power 5 major college football. So, it's Mississippi State. They'll pull their own. Now, Mississippi State pulls some in-state 4 stars and some in-state 3 stars for that reason alone, and that's it. You know what I mean? They may get 5 or 6 kids a class that no matter who the coach was would have come to Mississippi State. That is it. So who the guy is depends on. Yeah, exactly. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's not just the recruits that he's. So I don't want to make a big deal out of Mike. You know, Mike Leach doing this. It's like, yeah, you know, kids are probably on the fence anyway. They're probably, you know, no one that was like happy in a starter. And the kid had 19 tackles last year as a redshirt sophomore. You know, so he's been there for a few years and he's never really done much. That to me is the reason the kid's leaving. More so than a tweet. I think that could just be the thing that, like, while you're thinking about it and then that happens, it makes it easier. That, you know, like, that's kind of where I come in on it. I don't think if he has a 3-year starter returning for their senior year that was happy, you know, really hoping to improve and get better this upcoming season, I don't think that kid is going to leave because of a tweet where, you know, Mike Leach has zoomed that entire team and said, guys, I'm sorry. It'll never happen again. I did not mean that. You know, I'm sure that all of them believe him. I'm sure they do. You don't last in college football that long as a head coach if you don't like people because of the way that they look. Would you agree with that? That gets found out real early, in my opinion. So I think they'll believe him, but it's just like, what a terrible, like, this is what every athletic director has feared in hiring him.
Oh, absolutely. This is why he didn't have a job before now. I mean, that's at a major program, because you know that you're one tweet or one press conference away, and I won't even say angry press conference, because after losses, he has not handled some losses very well and has said things that he didn't mean and that insulted his players, and some players have taken it better than others.
Well, look at Les Miles. Les Miles was... I think, a comparable, from a quirkiness and just kind of odd, definitely doesn't fit the mold standpoint as Mike Leach. You know, they often get brought up in similar conversations when you talk about kind of out there college football coaches. But he won a national championship in his third season at LSU. Mm-hmm. And when you win a national championship at LSU or any major Power 5 program, when you are one of the few living, breathing national championship coaches, you know what you can do?
Just about anything.
Take the podium, take the mic, and say whatever you want for a half hour. You just can. I mean, like, you know, we were cracking on Dabo a little bit earlier, but, like, here's the deal. Dabo gets to say whatever he wants because he's Dabo. There's only a few coaches... Really, there's only one other current coach that's on his level. That's it. I mean, it's just him and Saban. They're for sure the 1A, 1A. So, but like Mike Leach has been at Texas Tech, and he's been okay. You know, he's had some success and some great years. Maybe you could even say overachieved at Washington State. He's had some great years. Maybe you could even say overachieved. Made the ceiling really, you know, probably higher than it had been. But he's never won anything big and he's never done much. So, like, Mike Leach needs to prove at each stop that he's at that he's worthy of taking that 30-minute filibuster microphone, say crazy stuff, send silly tweets, send, you know, out there off-color remark, you know, tweets and comments. And he hasn't earned that at Mississippi State yet. I know people are probably going, well, Ainge, you sound crazy. I'm like, well, maybe I do to everyone except a Mississippi State person that's listening. Just like we would for every Tennessee coach that we've ever had, right? I mean, we're all on pins and needles every time they open their mouth waiting to decide if we're in or out. Yeah. That's what the Mississippi State players and fans and administrators are doing right now, too. And it's just like, hey, Mike, tone down the mic. Hey, you know, tone down the pirate and be
Turn
more
yourself off for a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Go be Coach Leach version of yourself for a while, not the pirate version of yourself. The pirate can come out over time if people deem that it's okay here, but be Coach Leach for the time being.
The potential landing spots for the transfer, Fabian Lovett: Florida State, Florida, Tennessee, Michigan, and Michigan State. Those are the schools that have reached out to him already.
Yeah, Mississippi State's got a ton. I mean, they even did back when I played them, man. Back when we played Mississippi State, like, and dating back into the 90s, they always have a roster that if you based it on pure athleticism and size and strength, were probably comparable to just about anybody playing football. They just didn't quite have the skill level and the execution, quarterback play, the things that take it to, you know, from a 7-5 to a 10-2, 11-1 team. They just don't usually get that at Mississippi State, but they're always big, strong, physical, fast, especially on the defensive side of the football players. So Mike Leach is actually going to have a product to coach this year that is really unlike anything he's ever probably coached.
Now it's his opportunity to keep it, because
he better keep them all, keep as many of them there as that he can. I mean, you don't want to lose guys that they'll be the attrition, and the guys he wants to run off, that there's no way he could actually know who those guys are yet with everything going on. He was a late hire in the year as it was, and he's hadn't had a chance to be around him very long.
And you don't know who those guys are, and you don't know if you break some of these relationships, if you're going to get some of those guys from around the state, particularly in the junior college ranks, that you were going to get otherwise, and that Mississippi State's built a program on over the last 20 years. Because those Mississippi junior colleges are huge for their recruiting.
Mike Leach will have an opportunity to coach just about everybody, regardless of the tweet, that he wants on that team next year. And when he's having every official visit of every player he could possibly think to want to sign, what will determine whether he gets good players or not this upcoming recruiting class is what the guys hosting the recruits say about him. Because if he goes on and has a terrible year and he's mad and saying things about him, and then the kids that are coming on campus deciding if maybe they want to play for Leach and they want to play at Mississippi State, if the juniors and seniors that are taking those kids out and hosting them on their trips to Starkville are saying negative things or just meh things about him and the staff, then it will literally impede him from ever even starting to have a chance to have success there. So, like, he has to.
Who is Tennessee's best player? Well, Pro Football Focus has a different look at that, as probably we do. We'll tell you what they said. And analyze that coming up next on the Eric Haines Show.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. 656-9900. If you want to join Brian Rice and myself, EA, here on this Cumulus Media production, taking you all the way to the top of the hour.
The Masters officially announced November 9th through 15th. We won't have the blooming magnolia trees, but fall leaves and fall colors in Augusta will be a good backdrop if they're able to go by then. I'm looking forward to that.
Listen, if there's one takeaway, and I'm going to repeat it when we find out what we learned today, there's been several news stories today about timelines for start dates for professional sports, and which would also lend itself to the collegiate sports, because if we learn anything from this, it's when a pro sport says something, you're within a less than a week time frame of the collegiate sport following suit. So if there's positivity around sports start dates right now, the Masters in September, different things getting ready to start up in the summer with PGA tours, that's just a good thing to hear about. You know what I mean? Like, let's be safe and let's get back to normal as soon as possible. I'm just from a selfish standpoint, I enjoy hearing that. Regardless of whether it's going to happen right now, I like to hear it.
So the Masters in November, the 9th through the 15th, as of right now. The official statement says, quote, "We've identified November 9th through 15th as the intended dates to host the 2020 Masters. We hope the anticipation of staging the tournament brings a moment of joy to the Augusta community and those who love the game." That's up at masters.com. So, Eric Ainge, who would you say, if you had to identify one player on Tennessee's roster, who is the best returning player for the Vols next year?
From a college standpoint or a pro, just best player period? Like
best player, yeah, best player returning.
I think I would start with Trey Smith. I think in the conversation, potentially, could be Cade Mays. Believe it or not, I think Henry To'oto could be. Yeah, he could be in that list. I think sophomore running back Eric Gray could be in that conversation as well. I'm trying to think, you know, from a DB standpoint or line other defensive players. I think we have some really good potential players, but I don't know that anyone. I mean, the short answer is Trey Smith, in my opinion.
Bryce Thompson could also be in that list, but according to Pro Football Focus, who unveiled its best returning player for every FBS program, it's Sean Schamberger.
Really?
Here's the grade from Pro Football Focus, Anthony Treisch. Quote, this one might be a surprise to some, but Schamberger is the most valuable returning Tennessee volunteer from the 2019 season. Against incredibly difficult competition, Schamberger allowed 45 yards or less in every game played and allowed only 0.67 yards per coverage snap played in the slot, a mark that ranked fourth in FBS and by far the best in the SEC. The only other SEC slot corner to allow under a yard per coverage snap was Shayam Carter of Alabama.
I mean, I would say this about Schamberger. He, especially in the middle and end of the year, him and Nigel Warrior were probably our two best defensive backs. When you just look at, you know, what they're being asked to do and then their execution level of it, it was probably Nigel Warrior and Sean Schamberger. You know, it's hard normally when you look at a guy who has started his career as an outside corner get beat out by two guys younger than him for the outside corner positions. And then you move your next, most teams anyway, they put the slot, the nickel defender is their third best corner. In some coverage packages, he stops being the nickel and he goes back to outside and different stuff like that. But what Schamberger showed, and I was, again, this is why it's nice to have a defensive staff and coaching staff that really understands personnel and the need to be multiple and have depth. But Schamberger ended up being really impressive as a blitz guy, as a slot nickel blitzer off the edge. He became really, really hard to block for slot receivers as a tackle, as a run stopping threat, and he's good enough at corner that he can guard most of the slot receivers in the SEC. It's hard, and we played some man to man. We didn't like major in man to man. We didn't just go out there and just man everybody up because it's usually the slot receiver that's going to torch you when you do stuff like that. But from what he was being asked to do and his ability and kind of learning what to do and how to be around it, he was really, really good, man. I mean, and if Warrior and if Alante Taylor and Bryce Thompson, if Bryce Thompson's always healthy last year, same with Alante Taylor, then I think you have a defense that could have been even tougher to throw the ball against and have success against. I mean, remember how good our defense was during that winning streak there towards the end of the year. I mean, they were other than the play of Jarrett Garantano and the emergence of Eric Gray and all that kind of stuff, I think that the thing you got to point to was the back end of our defense and our ability to play all three downs of football. And Schamberger was a guy that was incredibly multiple and was in on every package. Yeah, he's not a guy that's coming off the field. You find a way to keep him out there. It surprises me that they would put him ahead of a couple guys on that list. But as I'm thinking back to it and talking about it, he just isn't as high profile of a guy. That's the reason he didn't even. I mean, I never even thought to think him. But I don't, as I'm talking about it, it doesn't sound as crazy to me as it did when you first said it. I mean, gosh, here's a guy too that look how good he's gotten in a short period of time with really, really good defensive back and defensive coaching. You know what I'm saying? Like, remember, Nigel Warrior, even at times last year, I was on here saying, I really wish we would, you know, let somebody else get some reps. And I was dead wrong in that. And Jeremy Pruitt, there's a reason he makes all that money, because of his ability to take the long route and getting Warrior to buy in and really play. He ended up being a first-team all-conference defensive back this year. Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that except the staff. So I bet this wouldn't sound crazy to the staff. I bet if you asked Derek Ainsley off the record, he may even agree.
Well, that's the thing that I always find interesting about the Pro Football Focus numbers is they're based only on sheer numbers, and their analysts don't – they put some opinion in the pieces that go with it, but the actual rankings are based just on numbers, which I both love and hate, because remember, Trey Smith didn't get as high marks as some other guys, and Tennessee's offensive line as a whole didn't grade out well because the freshman linemen missed assignments play big into the sheer numbers. It didn't mean that they wouldn't recommend that somebody take Trey Smith, but they only base things on the numbers. Which so I like it and I don't like it in that it can it removes opinion from it, but it also doesn't necessarily give a context for everything. But Schamberger, if he can cover the way he did this past year and build on some of the good things he did, then it's another great piece for a Tennessee defense that is going to need it.
Yeah, we have the conversations often about, like, what if you were building a team, what would you want? You know, do you want a pass rush specialist on the edge? Do you want a lockdown corner? What do you want? And I go back and forth sometimes. Ultimately, I think having a lockdown, my guy takes away your best guy every game type corner is probably where I would start. But gosh, having a guy to rush the edge is just as devastating to another team's game plan. And from what you have to do, you know, to quote, stress the defense to affect the game plan there, that's a comparable conversation. But on the list of things that are frustrating to an offense are a ball hawking, nose for the football, can rush the passer, also can guard your tight end potentially or your slot receiver, and is going to win the battle of the receiver trying to block him in the run game. A good nickel is as frustrating to an offensive game plan is just about anything. I mean, it really is. It's if your receiver can't block him and keep him from making tackles in and around the line of scrimmage, then you have to find new ways to, and that's the guy that's normally, you know, anyway, to the field guarding the wide side of the field. If they're containing and keeping everything funneled back inside and or getting in the mix and actually making tackles, that is as stressful to an offensive coordinator and from a preparation and execution standpoint as anything. So Schamberger coming back, you know, that's huge. I don't even worry about the nickel position really this year. How good could Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor be as juniors in the program, having played all the football and made all the plays and the mistakes? And, you know, what do they look like, and how good could those guys be next year? Because I think your corners and your nickel are pretty set. Who are the safeties going to be, I think, is the big offseason conversation for our defensive backs. Anyway, obviously there's some other corners that'll get in the mix. Warren Burrell, as a freshman last year, earned the confidence of the staff early enough to play for Bryce Thompson and fill in and play a lot during the year. And I thought he played a little timid at times, but I mean, he's a corner and he's a freshman, so that's very normal. But what the safety position looks like this year for Tennessee, and I think we have plenty from incoming freshmen to guys on the roster. I think there's plenty of athletes and plenty of snaps to develop from and choose from. But who the nickel and who the corners are, that doesn't keep me up at night. The safeties don't really either, but it is a good conversation to have as we do our full off season, get ready for the season breakdown stuff, who the safeties are is going to be a big conversation piece.
All right, 656-9900, if you want to join us. Tennessee has a new commit for this class. We'll tell you what the new addition from the Mid-State is next on the Eric Ainge Show.
Welcome back to the Eric Ainge Show. Whether you're listening on the Sports Animal or the Sports Monster, doesn't matter. Appreciate everybody tuning in here. If you're listening online, that's great as well, or podcasting. So many ways to get the EA Show, and we appreciate everybody for tuning in.
Also on that Masters date, Eric, that means that Tennessee, Georgia, we play the same day as the third round of the Masters. So if you have some ins, you could potentially see Tennessee, Georgia, and the final round of the Masters in 24 hours.
Oh, well, that person's going to be... That would be a nice thing to look forward to if that was you.
Yes.
Wouldn't that right now? You're going, man, no sports right now, but come November, I may have Tennessee, Georgia, and the Masters.
It's not me, but I would like
it. It's not me either. It's not me either.
Chase Bishop from Thompson Station in Independence High School in the Mid-State is coming to Tennessee as a preferred walk-on. He was a three-star recruit. Did not sign in February and is going to be a preferred walk-on for Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee. He is the number 35 player in the state of Tennessee, 5'11", 175. Listed as an athlete, most of his film that you're breaking down is at wide receiver. He was, however, recruited by Tennessee's defensive staff, which would lead you to believe that they project him more on that side of the football.
You know, he's got incredible ball skills. So, you know, even at 5'11", the catches he makes as a wide receiver are incredibly impressive. You know, I said earlier I thought he looked like he could be a really, really good slot receiver. He plays outside in high school, but, you know, his quickness is top of the line, straight up. His side-to-side is really good. He looks fast. And like I said, incredible ball skills. If you told me, if I'd never turned his film on or heard, if I'd been living in quarantine with no internet and I turned it on and heard that there we signed a four-star athlete, could play on either side of the ball, and I watched his film, I would 100% not doubt you for a second. So you mentioned it earlier. I think part of the reason that Chase Bishop is a three-star ranked in the 30s from the state of Tennessee and he's going to be a walk-on here, I think it's because as a junior, he was 5'9", 160. And if you're 5'9", 160, odds are you're 5'8", 155.
Yeah.
Right? You know what right. I mean? Like, if you're already too small, no one who's too small ever makes themselves smaller. So the fact that he was as a senior 5'11", 175, and was recruited by the defensive staff, I mean, he looks fast enough to play, but he looks like his best athletic attribute is his burst and his quickness, which would also lend itself to jumping ability and backpedal, stick your foot in the ground, burst, change of directions. I mean, I could see him being a really, really good defensive back for us as well. I don't think that this is the last time you're ever going to hear us talk about Chase Bishop. You know, normally if you get a preferred walk-on this late in the recruiting cycle, that would be a throw-in comment by us as we're going about our business. The kids had 20, 30 minutes of our show today because I think he's worth it. I think he's a really good player. The fact that he's not on scholarship is like, what? This kid's a walk-on? That's crazy to me. I mean, he looks every bit as ready to come in and compete for some time as the kids that we recruited on scholarship in the 2020 recruiting class.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a diamond right there. I'm telling you, that kid's gonna end up being a good football player for Tennessee at some point in time.
And that's what you've got to get to continue building depth, is to find these diamonds that that have maybe slipped through the cracks somewhere else or are just looking for a better opportunity late in the game. It doesn't cost you a scholarship right off the top, so why not do it?
And you mentioned it earlier. He came on official visit. He came on visits. He's been to Knoxville before. His dad obviously played in the NFL and works for 104.5 in Nashville and the Titans. And he's no stranger to college and pro football. And I think that regardless of what side of the ball he would want to be on, I think that Tennessee, one of the benefits that our staff has right now in convincing a kid not to go other places and come be a walk-on here is ultimately if you earn it and you're playing. I mean, who knows? This kid could have already been told that, hey, you're looking at a semester or two or however that works before you're going to be on scholarship. Who knows what that those off the table conversations are actually like, but the brand and wealth of knowledge that are both sides of the ball that our staff has at Tennessee right now is comparable to just about anybody. So they haven't had the same level of success, you know, as one group. But if you talk to, which I've asked David Cutcliffe to give me the best D coordinators in football from how they think and how they get their teams to execute, Jeremy Pruitt would have been on that list for the last 6 or 7 years. So these guys have those reputations in and around high school football already, and they're good recruiters. It doesn't shock me that this kid wants to come to Tennessee and be a part of this. It also would shock me if he was not on scholarship sometime in the near future and worth every single penny.
Yeah, and a good opportunity for it's good. Him to...
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have guys that look like they can play both sides of the ball. You know, like this kid, if you told me he was going to be a wide receiver come training camp, I'd say that's a really smart decision. If you had a guy that, if you told me he was going to be a DB, I'd say that probably is a really smart decision. If you have two guys get injured in the same practice and you tell them the very next day, hey, actually, you're going to go meet with Coach T. Martin. You're now a wide receiver. You need guys that can do that kind of stuff. I referenced he's different body style, different caliber of recruit anyway from a ranking standpoint, but it's similar to Gibbs that we got to transfer from Georgia. You know, he's a defensive back, and then he's a wide receiver. Is he both? What's he going to play here? Who knows what he actually ends up getting on the field as, but it's nice to have guys that can play both sides of the ball. I mean, it just is. I mean, Alante Taylor, remember, I watched him catching passes here before they put him at corner. You just never know.
We'll come back and find out what we learned today on the Eric Ainge Show next.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show, Cumulus Media Production. Like we do every day, it's time for us to find out what we learned. It's thanks to Regenerative Complete, RegenComplete.com. Listen, they're about the only cryotherapy unit that's still open in town is right there at Regenerative Complete, Kingston Pike and Farragut. Beyond Essential, free testosterone test. Guys, if you want to feel better, feel more like your youthful self, get rid of that cloudy, foggy mind, no energy, motivation, body not looking the way you want it to, free testosterone tests, real simple. And they also have the PRP injections. If you have joint pain, shoulder pain, back pain, anything like that, you could prevent a potential joint replacement surgery down the line and feel way better with the PRP injections that they have there as well. Find out more, as well as the neuro scans, at Regenerative Complete at RegenComplete.com. What'd you learn, Brian?
I learned that Tennessee's in the Final Four for another highly ranked quarterback for the class of 2021, and that's important because they need a quarterback in every class, but especially that one.
Yeah, we talked through that and the logistics of how this year will more than likely play out and why it's so crucial to get a 2021 prospect at quarterback that's big time, that you think you can win with if everyone else randomly forgot how to throw a football. Is the kid you get in 2021 good enough to continue you on the path to success? I mean, that's huge. I learned that there's actually some timeline positivity in pro and college sports coming out here today.
Well, we hope. There are at least scheduling changes made for later in the year. And, of course, everything is contingent on what happens down the line. But it,
of course.
But setting up things for, like, the Masters in November, that's going to make for a really good sports weekend. If the schedule is as it is now, Tennessee-Georgia on Saturday and the Masters final round on Sunday. Could be a fun one down there in Georgia. And I learned that Tennessee has a basketball Hall of Famer in Tamika Catching. She's going in this class with Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. Garnett, not Durant. And although Kevin Durant will probably be a Hall of Famer one day.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer as well, of course.
And Tim Duncan. That they highlight the class this year.
Yeah, talking through the Tamika Catchings impact and not just women's basketball, but basketball period. I mean, the national articles that we could find that we were clicking on, NBA insider type stuff, it's, hey, here's your class. I mean, because there's several other people, Rudy Tomjanovich, Kim Mulkey. There's a lot of different basketball people in this class. But the highlight says Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Tamika Catchings, 2020 Hall of Fame inductees to basketball, the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's crazy. The only other Tennessean, University of Tennessee player, person, coach that we have is Pat Summitt, correct?
Yes.
So it's Pat Summitt and Tamika Catchings. And this is the first year that she's eligible. So she is a first ballot Basketball Hall of Famer.
It's pretty amazing. Catchings already in the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame as well. I learned that Pro Football Focus thinks Sean Schamberger is Tennessee's best returning player, and that's their, when you look at their list and their reasoning, well, they make a compelling point.
They do make a compelling point, and I think that a lot of it, and we talked about it in just about every football reference that we had today, but what does player X do to the other team from a preparation and execution standpoint? And Sean Schamberger probably does about as much or more from a prep and execution standpoint as anybody on our team, other than, I would say, Henry T from a returning standpoint. You know, Darrell Taylor and Daniel Batuli, and towards the end of the year, Nigel Warrior, I probably would have all put ahead of him or comparable, but I don't think it's crazy to say that Henry T and Sean Schamberger caused the most problems for an opponent's game plan as we get ready for the 2020 football season. That doesn't sound crazy to me at all. You know, if you talk about that from an offensive standpoint, you know, that's, I mean, you almost have to go by position. Our interior offensive line for this upcoming season, I would put probably against anybody's. I mean, if you assume Cade Mays gets healthy, you go Trey Smith, Brandon Kennedy, Cade Mays, left, center, right. I don't know that there's a better, bigger, more athletic, intelligent, tough, mauling interior offensive line in football. Now, the tackles need to make a lot of progress next year. They were young this year. They need to make progress, but as an offensive line, you have a top 3 to 5 SEC offensive line for sure as it is. You may have the number 1 or 2 interior offensive line in football, which is so important to keep a QB clean and eliminate those crazy plays, because it's the interior stuff that gets you. That's the stuff that creates most of the turnovers. It's not the off-the-edge stuff. I mean, if you miss it, yeah, sure it is, but that stuff happens once or twice a year. The interior guys getting beat and being on you immediately, that's the thing you can't have. And luckily for Tennessee, I don't think we will have that next year. The NFL draft's coming up, Brian, and that's happening. That's not a speculated date. Roger Goodell made that very clear. That is happening. There's a lot of stuff to get into. This could be a very intriguing NFL draft, and I'm not saying that for creating drama purposes. There's a ton of deep positions in the draft that we'll need to continue to look at as we get ready for that into April.
Yeah, it's coming up. Tomorrow on the Eric Haines Show, just released some college football win totals for the year. Over under, we'll play that game tomorrow as we take a look at some of those. Looking forward to that. We'll see you tomorrow, Eric.
Yeah, buddy, I'll be here at IHD at my father-in-law's office. I'm not going anywhere.
Joel, thank you as well. We'll see you tomorrow on the Eric Haines Show. You can't say we never tried.